Mary, who were you channeling with that speech?
Jean Muir.
Tell us about Jean Muir.
Jean Muir, who was an actress who was blacklisted during this period, and there isn't actually a lot of historical information you can find about her. So in doing research, I went on the internet. I actually did see some YouTube video of her doing Midsummer Night's Dream, which was pretty cool to see. But other than that, a lot of her life is pretty vague. But Julie had a book, Those Wonderful Terrible Years, and it was about AFTRA and how AFTRA was formed. And Jean had been married to Henry Jaffe, who was a lawyer who helped to form AFTRA and then later became somewhat of a jerk. But Jean was also a very big alcoholic. That came about after going through this period and also losing everything, her children, but eventually gaining them back by... I mean, she said she was very lucky, and the reason I think she says she was very lucky is that she went through this awful period of being blacklisted and then becoming this alcoholic and sort of alienating most of the people that she really loved. But then she turned her life around and became a college professor and became very well respected and was able to act again as well. And most of the women did not have any chance to regain their reputation or their lives. I actually see a lot of parallels with what's going on today. I feel very threatened as a woman today by what's going on in Congress and the crazy politicking that's happening right now with women's health care particularly. Because when the freshman Congress came in with the Tea Party members particularly, instead of working on jobs or the economy, they tried to pass 900 bills in the first few months against women, taking away rights from women, women's health care and everything else. I take it very personally. We were taught about this in school, but we weren't taught, it was sort of a gall lost over thing. And we were taught about it more like in the way that though there was the Red Scare and communism is really bad, it's kind of what we were told when I was growing up in school. And there's another play, Are You Now or Have You Ever Been? And that, somebody did it in college, so I had been exposed to that and seen, but that was more about men. So you didn't really get a sense of what happened for the women. But this struggle is so awful that you wouldn't want it to happen ever again. So it does sort of stick in your heart and in your head when you learn about it. Definitely because it happened and because it could happen again, I think it's very important to put that out there and put the human face on people who had their reputations tarnished. And I think there's a big danger in the way that society can be, in that if someone is accused of something, I know we live in a society where you're supposed to be innocent and proven guilty, but that was clearly not the case with these women. And I do know, having researched some other things, like people who have been on death row, who they are finding now with the new DNA evidence that those people actually shouldn't be there. It's the same kind of thing, though, because you get this attitude, well, they were convicted, so they must be guilty. And that's not right. So I think it's very important you show us the human story and real people, and people can say, wow, I didn't know about that, or maybe I did know about that, but now I know more, and I want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
What's your own experience as a working woman who seeks to be in theater?
The simple answer is it's very difficult and very frustrating. I don't think theater will ever go away, but theater is definitely, there's not a lot of money in theater, so there's not a lot out there in terms of trying to get work. There's a lot of people who want to be an actor. A less subset of that are actually actors. And then from there, there's a certain subset of jobs. And the way that the economy has been, a lot of jobs have been going away because there's not enough money to produce them. And so where it used to be, you might be a regional theater actor and you worked in smaller cities around, and then you could come to New York and work on or off Broadway. The case now seems to be that even the A-list actors, the film and television actors, are now taking the jobs that were on Broadway, and the people that were on Broadway are now off and then regional. And so if you're somebody who's trying to work your way up through regional and off-Broadway, you're fighting an uphill battle against people who already have a lot of stature or name recognition. And with the internet, it's a lot easier to just put stuff out there on video and things, which is good and bad. I like to say to young women today, there's a lot out there that's sort of demeaning to our brains and our bodies that has come out. And these women grew up in a time where women did not have a lot of choices. I know my mother grew up and she had a choice between being a nun and being able to be a teacher or to go be a nurse or get married. And that was choices. And like today, we have a lot of choices, but there's also a lot of, I feel like it's backlash from men having had a period where after the 50s and 60s and then the sexual revolution and then coming into the 80s with all the Reagan economics. And after that, it seems like we've been so sexualized that I feel like you have to put yourself out there and say, hey, I'm an intelligent woman. And I think looking at women like the women in this play, as well as other women who had different struggles, but struggles that were important in gaining us the kind of freedoms that we have, that we need to remember that the struggle isn't over and that we still have to make sure that we speak up for ourselves, even if it means making some enemies.